I am unashamed. What about you?
Well, so here we are with the Unashamed, and we have normally it's me, Dad, and Jace. But for the second podcast, we have booted Jace, and we brought in Miss Kay. Are you glad? Could you think you can fill
in? I tell you, if I'd have been here with Jace, it would have ruined the show.
Well, that's why I didn't let him come. Yeah. And then we have
he argues with me.
We have
no
the fantastic, wonderful Kathy Lee Gifford. Yes. Skyping in to us from Nashville. So hello, Kathy Lee. Welcome to Unashamed.
Hey, guys. So nice to see you. Miss Kay and Miss Kathy Lee.
That's right.
Right. Perfect.
And now, Kathy Lee, now we have been doing our podcast but about a year, but you're definitely the most famous person we've had on so far. So we're so excited to have a famous person on here now.
Well, that's kind of sad.
It is sad.
We're
growing. It's sad for us, but it's great for you.
We're growing.
So I wanted to start with a story. I don't know if you remember this or not. But it's in our family, I guess since our reality show's history, it's one of our most famous stories, and you were a part of it and don't even know it. So we did the Today Show, and this is right like at the height of the popularity of the show. And so I wasn't on the interview. Lisa and I had just started on the show, but the rest of the family was there. It was kind of a big ensemble. So Matt Lauer interviews him first, and Matt was kind of testy that day, and he kept trying to talk about scripted versus unscripted. It just wasn't a real fun interview, but, you know, he did his thing. Right. So then we have, of course, Kathy Lee and Hoda afterwards. And so you interviewed us. You guys interviewed us. So you guys are trying to just keep it fun and, you know, this is going to be great. You had the right spirit about it. This is Duck Dynasty. This isn't, you know, the end of the world. So I don't remember which one of you asked. I'm off camera, so I'm watching the interview. And so you know, a couple of little funny things right off the bat. And then somebody says, oh, well, I hear, Mr. Phil, I hear you guys have some dogs. Because you thought, you know, we might get something light maybe about Bobo or, you know, our dogs that were on the show.
Are the labs that retrieve the ducks.
Right. And so Dad decides, he says, yeah, we got dogs. We definitely got dogs. They're our first line of defense. Anybody tries to come in and rape our women, molest our children, and he starts into this list. Look, she's laughing. She remembers. So he starts into this list, and all of a sudden, both of y'all's eyes got so big, and I think it was Hoda that said, whoa, that we just went from Bible study to Smith & Wesson, and in one sharp turn, you know? And so,
then
somebody tried to save the interview by saying, well, what about Uncle Si? You know, you're so funny, and Si says, hey, we'd rather have a Bible study, but if a gunfight breaks out, we're ready for that too.
Oh,
and
my.
It was just, it was
I know,
over.
I remember that.
How could you forget that?
So here's the part of the story you don't know.
It was great TV.
So here's what you don't know happened after. So we were leaving Today's show and going to the airport. That was our last show. We all load up in the, you know, three SUVs and we're heading to the airport. So Willie starts texting and he's making fun of what Dad did on the thing, but there will be a hail of gunfire. We're going to kill everybody. And so then we get to the airplane. We all get on the plane. And then Willie, we're all sitting together in one big group. And Willie's like, if you try to rape our women, we'll. And so we like laughed about that all the way home.
We did. It just was funny every time.
And so that is a very deep, funny Robertson story, and you were a part of it. So thank you for being a part of one of our favorite stories.
Oh yeah, I think this is the success of our hour was that everybody felt safe.
Right.
To obviously be who you are.
Well, we got Smith and Wesson and Bible
no
study. which is really funny. So a couple of things I wanted to ask just because I'm curious and then I want to hear about your new book. So what was it like? You know, I watched you and Regis a lot because that was another show that for me personally, I just enjoyed it. You guys had a great rapport and just a great dynamic. What was that like during that era? Because you guys were like the thing, you know, for that whole period of time y'all were doing it.
Yeah, you know, since Regis has passed just a couple of months ago, everybody's talking about it and remembering him and using the word beloved, which is the proper way to use it for very few people. You know, everybody loved Regis. He didn't have an enemy in the world. And when we started together, we were local. We used to tease ourselves. We're a local piece of slime show. and we were happy to be that because we weren't trying to be anything other than what we were. And I think that's sort of the success of you as well. You know, if you're authentic, people know it.
That's right.
You know, and you they're either going to like you or not like you, but at least it's on an honest basis.
Right.
And Regis and I were entertainers at our core. We weren't journalists. We, you know, I've been a singer and an actress since I came out of my mother's womb with a rim shot and a pratfall, you know, and Reg the same. He would go into any room wherever we were, whether there were two people there or it was Carnegie Hall, no matter what. And he'd go, Regis is here. Regis is here. He had to announce the fact that Regis was there. And, you know, they just loved him for it. And he'd go to every single person and talk to them and tease them and love them. And he just made everybody happy. He lived to make everybody happy. We didn't know at the time that we were changing the landscape of daytime TV. We had no idea. Right. And we made a pact between us that we would never go into syndication unless we had an absolute guarantee from the syndicator that they wouldn't try to change us one bit,
yep.
Not one bit. We take the same show we had always done for 3 years in New York and just put the satellite up and we're the same.
Right.
And Buena Vista Disney did that. And it changed, literally changed the landscape of daytime television ever since then. And I'm just grateful for God for it in my life, because it certainly changed all my opportunities. I stayed with Reach for 15 years, and then for personal reasons, spiritual reasons, the Lord led me away. I wanted to pursue my dreams that I'd had since I was a child. You know, you're running out of time as you get a little bit older in life. And then I did the show with Hoda, and then I really left after I found Frank, passed on to glory in our sunroom one Sunday morning. And that was over 5 years ago. And when you've held your love and you see that look on their face, which was, and he saw Jesus and Jesus took his breath away. I knew it. But after that, I was so aware of my own mortality, you guys, after that. You know, I'm 23 years younger than Frank to the day. But when you've experienced the loss of somebody that you love as intimately as I did my husband, and he's there one minute and he's gone the next, but you know where he is.
That's right.
It just lit a fire in my gut that God's not done with me yet. And don't you dare waste one more minute, Kathy. I've got work for you to do. And it's going to require a lot of, you're going to have to move. Yeah. You have to leave everything you know. I'm taking you to a spacious place. You know, that scripture that says the Lord led me out into a spacious place.
Yeah.
Because that home that Frank and I had lived in for 25 years at that time was our refuge there. You know, that's where the Lord he made a family of us there. That's where Frank's ashes are. That's where my children came after the hospital. That's where we raised them. Billy Graham did my first Christmas special right there in our living room. Just a million memories. And then all of a sudden, my husband's gone. My children have moved to California to pursue their careers. And that magnificent, magical place is all of a sudden a morgue. A morgue. And I knew that I was dying, literally dying of loneliness. I couldn't go out and toast the sunset anymore like Frank and I had done since the day we started dating. All through my children's lives, every night we'd go and thank the Lord for another day of life when the sun went down. Mm. We'd do it all over the world. But it was especially, you know, precious to us in our own backyard, you know. And I couldn't do it anymore. And I said, Lord, if this is it for me, then take me home now. I'm ready. Anytime. I'd rather go home and be with Jesus and my husband and my father and my mother, people, the dearest, closest people in my life I've lost now. They're not lost. I know where they are.
Right.
And someday I'm good. But they're lost to me physically right now. And if this is it, Lord, and you're done with me, then I'm done with this. Take me home. And he convinced me, you know, no, honey, I have only begun with you. You have no idea. Like in Ephesians, I have immeasurably more for you than you could ever ask or imagine if you just keep walking with me.
Well, you
one
know,
more day.
Yeah, I watched your I Am Second, because, you know, we were doing ours today and I knew we were going to be speaking. And so, I mean, there were two inspiring and uplifting. would be the two words I would use for what you said on I'm Second. And I know those guys are really good at what they do, but and you talked a little bit about that in the I'm Second part. I wanted to tell you, talk a little bit about Frank Gifford for Dad and I. Of course, Dad played college football, and so we've always loved football. And Frank was a part of the original Monday Night crew that when I was growing up and kind of became football aware. So I always loved, he was always my, you know, Dandy Don was the ultimate color guy, funny, singing, you know how he was. And then Cosell was the play-by-play guy. But because he was so bombastic himself, I felt like he kind of could be off the rail. You never knew where, you know, Howard Cosell was going to go. But Frank Gifford was like the steady. I mean, he was like the pro. Yeah, he was. He was the pro of the booth. And I've never forgotten that. I mean, as a kid growing up and watching him, you know, he was the voice I always listened to the most because the other two were kind of out on the far ends of that. So he just had, he had a big impact on me. He was one of my heroes just because I love football and he was a part of that. So one of the things, stats I heard the other day is that since the lockdown, there have been 5 million, over 5 million guns sold in America. I mean, there was already like, I think 360 million. It was about a gun per person for the country. And there's a lot of people that don't own guns. So the guns are up. And I think part of the reason why, obviously, is a couple of reasons. One is because there's a lot of talk negatively against the Second Amendment. So there's always this kind of fear that somebody's going to kind of come in and shut gun sales down.
A well-regulated militia. It's constitutional.
That's right. That's exactly right. So one of the things that's going to happen with all these gun sales is you got to have people trained in how to use a weapon, a handgun, which I had to be trained because we didn't have them a lot growing up. And so I had to do some of this myself. So one of our sponsors is iTarget. And they basically come up with a system where you can practice with a target, which normally have it with us, but we're not in our normal spot. With your phone. And so your phone registers the hits on the target. So you can just, it's basically dry fire, but learning the muscle memory of that. So it's a little different, of course, when you shoot. You still need to do some target practice there, but it does at least show you the process of it. So here's what you do if you want to check these guys out, itargetpro.com. That's itargetpro.com. Use the offer code Phil. You're going to get 10% off your order plus free shipping. So check these guys out and practice and get proficient with your weapon.
It's bullets or lasers.
Laser bullets.
Computer lasers where that's it's right. Perfectly healthy. It can't hurt anybody.
It's a brilliant concept.
So that everyone will understand, I haven't said anything yet.
Oh.
But I've listened to Kathy Lee's words and I was inspired by her words. Just remember, you say, so what exactly, y'all raised rural Southerners, so what's the agenda really? Here's what we're trying to do, Kathy Lee. We're trying to get human beings to do two so hard things to do. Love God and love each other. We're trying to get them to do that. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast.
Right.
It's not proud. It's not rude. It's not self-seeking. It's not easily angered. Just think about a culture like this. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. Check this out in lieu of the hearing y'all kind of get on me about the dogs and the gunfire.
He's going back.
Love always protects. You're like, you have your woman at home. You love your woman. There's your next door neighbors. You love them. Some people have come up and are trying to harm them, burn their house down. Love always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails. Therefore, you say, if you look at what we do, we're just trying to get the human race, particularly America, just to love God and love each other. Kathy Lee, I do not see the downside to that. You know?
There's no downside to that. You know, and when Jesus said those words, Phil, when you understand the rabbinical rabbinical study of the Word of God, the original Hebrew in the Old Testament, the original Greek in the New. You understand cultural context at the time as well. And when Jesus said that, it was infuriating to the Pharisees and the Sadducees, because he said, you know, they said, what's the greatest commandment? He said, to love your soul, you might, all of you, right? And the second one is like that, love your neighbor as yourself. But what people don't understand is that seems normal to us now. At the time, that's one of the reasons they had to crucify him. Why? Because the entire society, the Jewish society of its time, very patriarchal. Jesus was a rabbi. Jesus was a Jew. A lot of Christians don't even realize that.
Right. Yep.
Everybody in first century AD, Israel, were living under Roman rule, but they were also living under Sadducee and Pharisee rule. And what those people did infuriated Jesus. They kept adding more rules, more commandments, more,
right. You
know, tithe your spice garden. And they already had the Mosaic law they wanted to keep. They already had all these teachings. They added over like 600 different teachings and commandments that these poor people that were already under Roman rule and taxes had to keep. And Jesus, when he said that to them, was basically saying to the Pharisees, woe is you hypocrites, you whitewashed tombs.
Yep.
You are doing everything other than what you were asked to do, which is feed my sheep, love my people, teach them my ways and lead them to glory. And that's what made Jesus so much a rebel, so much a radical. He was going to undo the status quo in first century AD.
And he did a wonderful thing. He brought Jew and Gentile together under one head himself. I think, Kathleen, that's the reason to this day, there's a reason that we all say all the years before Jesus are called all the years before Jesus, and all the years after Jesus are called year of our Lord. He's the time marker to this day for the world. We're all count time. It's pretty amazing.
Yeah. Well, they're trying to change that too. They're, you know, trying to rewrite history that, you know, that that one moment that changed all of history is a moment that divinity chose to leave being the glory of God, chose to enter humanity.
That's right.
He the creator of the world died literally already before he died on the cross, died to his own glory to become a child, a baby in Bethlehem, and feel what we feel and understand what we go through. He knew anyway, but there was no other way to get back to Bet Av, which is the Hebrew word for the Father's house. Since the dawn of creation, that's what Creator God, Jehovah Elohim, has tried to do. He's tried to love all of humanity back to his home,
yep.
Bet Av, the Father's house.
Yep.
And it could only be accomplished by sending his son.
That's it.
That's pretty good. Well, I tell you what, Kathy Lee would fit into Unashamed Discussions.
She would.
You fit in here quite well, Kathy Lee. That's our kind of talk. So I was going to mention and bring Mommy in. Kathy Lee is known, and I don't know if it was from the Kathy Lee and Regis era or what, but you're known for your quotes because you always just said a lot of statements. And so I don't know if you've Googled yourself lately, but there's a lot of Kathy Lee quotes out there.
No,
and
I try not to ever Google myself. I want to be happy.
That's exactly right. Well, and I found them quite interesting. So Mom is the, if Kathy Lee's the queen of the quotes, then Mom is the queen of the misquotes.
A throwback from Norm. You remember Norm Crosby? You remember Norm Crosby, the guy that butchered the English language and made a good living at it? That's Miss K.
But I don't do it on purpose.
So tell
me. I mean, it just comes out.
Neither did my mother. My mother used to call the Syrophoenician lady the Neo-Synephrine woman. So I know what you mean.
That's a classic, Mom. So tell her the one about when you had the thing on your leg. And what did
Daddy
you...
tells it better
well,
than I do.
Well, she called me. She says, my leg is, what? How did? Oh, she said, they did an autopsy on my leg. And she said, but they're going to fix it. They're going to treat it with nitroglycerin. I said, let me see now. Your leg is dead. They're fixing to blow it up.
I never knew.
She said, I might have got those words out of there.
I said, I mixed those words up. The first one was, what was it? What was the right name? It was
biopsy.
You can see how those biopsy. Are close.
Yeah.
And then
they're what often the, used.
And they were going to use, what was the right word for the leg?
Some kind of the freezing process. Whatever. Yeah. But yeah, you said, the other.
I know. And I never say, and then usually when I say on the minute they're out, I'll say, that's not right. And Phil will go, not right. He said, not K right. can change one letter of one word, and it's a whole other word.
We hunted for 1 hour to find her little cell telephone. We couldn't find it. We could hear it in the distance. We had people call, Miss K's looking for it. She's looking for it an hour. Well, guess where we found it? In the refrigerator.
Between the lettuce and Coke.
So I guess that's truly putting your phone on.
Well, I was hungry.
Yeah, there you go. So one of the quotes, now these are from the internet, so if you didn't say them, you can tell me. But one I found was interesting I want to ask you about, because you mentioned your mom. It says, over the years, my mom has become a self-taught biblical scholar. That's one of the quotes out there from you.
Yeah.
Is that tell us about your mom and tell us about that. Because obviously she's, you know a little bit about them.
Both. It's interesting. Yeah. Both of my mom and I just wrote about it in a new book that's coming out in December called It's Never Too Late. And it was a hard chapter for me to write because I was very close to my mom and dad. They both were of another generation. My dad was born, in 1924. My mom was born in 1930, same year Frank was. So it was a completely different world then.
Yeah.
It was the great generation, as it's called, because there was so much sacrifice.
Wow.
There was an understanding that you sacrifice for what's precious in this world. And we've sort of lost that, unfortunately, in our culture. And I'm trying to raise children that understand that. But, everything's very, very different. But my mom and my dad came from great loss and tremendous, how can I explain it? They're both of my parents came from immigrants. Parents.
Yeah.
And they had very dysfunctional childhoods. They were, both of their fathers were alcoholics. Both of their mothers died early. It's complicated. They came from tremendous heartbreak and loss. My dad was a Jew. He was, people tried to stone him when he was a child and called him a Christ killer. My mother lost her mother, her brother, her father, her grandmother, and everybody else that she loved before she was out of her, 15 years old. Everybody was gone in her family except for one sister. And so, and they were, poor. They'd come from some wealth and then lost it during the 1929 in the stock market. Wow. I mean, it's like a grapes of wrath kind of epic story on both sides. But when they found each other by the grace of God, they decided that they were going to break the mold. They were going to break the cycle of abuse.
Yep.
And they were going to, and they didn't know Jesus at the time. Although we found out, you guys, much later, when my father was 8 years old, as a little Jewish boy in Annapolis, Maryland, his mother was a Gentile, but they were raised, very, very dysfunctional. Anyway, five kids had been left by the father with their mother. She had it was a hot summer day, and she said to them all, I've had it with you kids. Get out of this house. Go down to that little church. It was an African-American little church down the road. You go down to that little church and you all go to vacation Bible school because I've had it with you, the brats, kind of thing. Well, they all went. And we didn't know for years later that my daddy had gone forward and asked Jesus into his heart when he was 8 years old at that little African-American church.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. We didn't know it for the longest time. And then years later, my mom and my sister, I came home one night and found, I was outside getting the door open. I could see my mother and my sister looking at the television on the inside, and they were sitting there in front of it crying. And I thought maybe the president had been killed or something, you know?
Yeah.
And because I remember when President Kennedy had been killed, and it was like that. You just saw people gathered around and sobbing. So that I saw that, and I walked in, and I realized that they'd been sobbing. They'd been sitting in front of the television because Billy Graham was doing a crusade. And they both came to know Jesus at that time. Well, we all know from Jesus, Yeshua, the Messiah, that he came to make all things new. And all of a sudden, the dysfunction and the heartache and the brokenness of my mother's early life and my father's, all of a sudden, Jesus started putting that marriage, solidifying the future and making all things new, which he promised he would do. And next thing you know, my mother's saved, my sister's saved. I go to a Billy Graham movie. A couple of months later, I'm saved. My brother gets saved. And thus begins the miracle that only God can do in these homes. They look hopeless.
That's right.
On the surface. But God, right?
Right.
But God. The world was hopeless until Jesus came to, miraculously born of a virgin in the town of Bethlehem, and everything changed. History changed. We yep. mark the day that happened. Whether we follow what they're trying to do today, for the last two centuries, it's changed the way we mark history.
So one of our sponsors that we talk about quite a bit is Patriot Mobile, because we talk a lot about cell phones. We probably talk as much about cell phones on our podcast as any other subject. Is that not true? How often does it come up?
Or the lack thereof.
The lack thereof. Or when mom puts it in the refrigerator. So these guys, obviously, Patriot Mobile, they provide cell coverage for you. And one of the things that they're sort of proud of is that they're a very conservative company, and most of the major providers, like most corporations in America, unfortunately, are very left-leaning, and so a lot of the money that go into BLM and all this stuff come from some of these same groups, and so they want you to know, if you go with them, anything they donate to is probably things that would agree with all of us who do this podcast. So if you're interested in checking out and making the jump, here's what you do. You go to patriotmobile.com/Phil, patriotmobile.com/Phil, or you can call them at 972-PATRIOT. That's 972-PATRIOT. You get a free month of service or a free phone plus activation when you use that offer code of Phil. So check these guys out if you want some conservative coverage.
By the way, Kathy Lee, and one of the things I always ask people after hearing you tell the story that we tell, I always ask them, do you have a better story?
I'm so listening to
it. It makes you nervous just to think about it.
Yes. I'm sorry. Okay.
So what I'm saying is, I say, do you have a better story, everyone who hears about Jesus and what he did? And to the person, they all say, even the atheists, they say, you got me there, because that's a doozy of a story. It is a story.
Well, we can't do anything better than God does.
That's right.
You know, I just look back on it. And I was 12 years old, and I think that was the greatest decision I ever made in my entire life. Was to, I was at this movie theater. I was watching a Billy Graham movie, and he was so rebuked and criticized for having a movie and having people come to the movie theaters. And Billy understood that. The devil didn't own movie theaters. The That's devil right. didn't own the airwaves. God created air, and everything belongs to God. And if we gave it up, then that's our fault as believers. If we're not, and he said, I'm going to take the television airwaves, and I'm going to do my preaching, my crusades. I'm going to make a movie about a young girl on the cusp of womanhood who can either go the way of the world and have sex with her boyfriend and do drugs and let the world take her away, or she can trust me with her life and let me make something beautiful out of it. And I'm sitting there as a little Jewish girl who's wanted to be an actress and a singer my whole life in a movie theater. And where does God meet me? In a movie theater.
And that's why that's why we know what we just saw. Your cup runneth over.
It does.
And falleth over.
We're talking about something else.
So look, we just have a few minutes left.
The one I just spilled is not running over now.
So I saw an arm put it back. We just have a few minutes left with you. So tell us a little bit about your new book, Hello Little Dreamer. Is that right? Is that the book you just came out with?
It's called Hello Little Dreamer, and it's getting such a lovely reaction. Basically, I've written many, many children's books. They're very easy for me to write. I've been a mother. I've been a writer all my life. I'm a songwriter, so I write in rhyme. And they're basically little songs that just haven't been put to music yet.
Right.
And then these wonderful... Anita Schmidt is the young lady. I've never even met her, but she did these delightful illustrations for it. And then they do all the hard work and bring it to life. You know, they bring it just magic. So it's basically because I've always felt like we ask the wrong question in our culture of our children. We say, what do you want to be when you grow up? When really we should be asking them, what has God already prepared you to be?
Yeah.
Scripture tells us that before the dawn of creation, God saw us.
That's right.
How amazing is that?
Yeah.
God saw us. And he had us in mind when he created everything. And then when David talks about in the Psalms how God creates this human being in that dark secret place in our mother's womb. And the scripture says, wonderfully and fearfully made. That's a bad translation of fearful.
That's
the Hebrew word yireh, Y-I-R-E-H. That we only have one word for fear in English. It's fear.
That's right.
We all think it means the same thing all the time, but it doesn't in the Hebrew. Most of the time in the Old Testament, the word fear, like fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. It means worship and adoration and awe of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom.
That's right.
The only people that should ever fear God are his enemies.
That's right.
Those who hate him
and
hate his word and hate his ways. They're the only one. God doesn't want his children. He's Abba Father. He doesn't want me, which means daddy in Aramaic. He doesn't want us to fear him.
Right.
He wants us to crawl up in his lap and love him and pour out our hearts to him and trust him with our lives. And that's what I did that day in that movie theater. I felt the Lord speak very clearly to me, you guys, and say, Kathy, I love you, because he does speak our names, you guys. Remember when he spoke to Hagar 5,000 years ago in the desert? He said her name. He loved on her. He loved her into the kingdom. He was a God who sees, she called him. He called her by name, just the way he said to Mary Magdalene when she was so broken that Jesus had died and was she'd never see her Savior again. What happened? He says her name. And that's what our Savior does for all of us. He calls us by name. He is a customized God. He's, you know, he makes every single one of us so completely unique and different, and died for every single one of us for the same reason, because he loves us. And Jesus said to me that day as a 12-year-old little kid, Kathy, I love you. And if you'll trust me, I want to make something beautiful out of your life.
Yeah.
Well, and I went forward that day, and I've made all kinds of mistakes since. But God's grace and mercy is so much bigger than any mistake I will ever make. I may make a worse one tonight. I used to say to my kids, you know what we all have in common, you guys? We are one decision away from disaster. Me too. You know?
I think that could be said of us all. Kathy Lee, it's been awesome having you on Unashamed. Obviously, God had that spotlight in mind for you when you came to this earth, and I think you've shown well as the light in darkness. So we appreciate your life. We want to encourage our audience to check out Hello, Little Dreamer. It sounds like a great book. So thank you for coming on. We're giving you an invitation as we leave, because we had first talked about trying to get you down here, but with COVID and everything going on, that we couldn't get it done. But we want to invite you next time. We're going to come and cook in Miss Kay's kitchen.
Yep.
We'll have some fun with that, and we'll do another podcast.
Thank you.
I want to tell you one thing. You're beautiful inside and out. And I really do see it. I mean, you could help so many people by just sharing your words of the scriptures.
Well, you know what, you guys, that's what we're all here for. We've all had great success in this business. That's not for our glory.
That's right.
That was all, you know, he gave us these gifts, that these dreams we had like my little book talks about in Hello Little Dreamer, there are no mistakes. God, if a child comes out of the womb and starts to twirl around and dance, or they stare at the stars and they go, Mommy, what's that one? Daddy, what's that? What's that mean? You know, those dreams are born of God, and there's a purpose for them. Dreams are huge all through Scripture. God uses his dreams, implants them in us every bit as much as he makes us long-legged or a little chubby or blue-eyed, green-eyed, whatever. We're masterpieces to the master creator.
That's right.
And our dreams are every bit as important to our growing into everything we were meant to be in him as our bodies are. And some dreams are instant. We know right away, oh, Johnny likes to work with his hands. Johnny's going to, you know, kind of thing. But we, as parents, should never get in the way of our kids' dreams.
Yeah.
You know, we sort of superimpose sometimes our dreams on our children. And we have no right to do that. We're children, train them up in the way they should go. And when they are older, they will not depart from it. It doesn't say, give your children your dreams.
That's right.
That would be totally against what God wants us to do as parents. Let them dream their dreams. And then we're just there to help them make them come true.
There you go.
I like it.
I like it too. Great having you on today. Just pray God's blessings on you. And
the same to you all. God bless. Hope to see you in person next time.
Thank
y'all
you.
Come down to Nashville too.
We'll be up there.
I like Nashville.
Yeah, we got some kinfolk up there. Thanks, Kathy Lee.
Okay. Lord bless you.
You too.
Thank you. Bye.
One of the things that we mention from time to time is that Dad has a show. The reason the podcast came about is because the folks, it started out CRTV and now they've merged, and so it's Blaze TV, is producing a show. We're producing the show for Dad, but it's called In the Woods with Phil. And so that show, that subscription show, it's a subscription that you get to watch your show, which now I think is over 800 episodes, maybe, something like that. A lot of stuff there, and it's done in a video blog format. So they're about 7 or 8 to 10 minutes long. And so it's just Dad kind of on a little rant. Sometimes he does a little Mark Levin. Sometimes he does a little making jelly, fishing, hunting, you know, a lot of different things.
Everyone I've seen, they were funny.
Yeah, funny and good and just a lot of good stuff. So we want to just remind you in the podcast audience that you can get this show. You go to blazetv.com/unashamed. You're going to get 30 days free and $10 off to try it. And so when you go on there, not only do you get access to all of Dad's past shows, but you're also going to get access to a lot of other people on the network, Mark Levin, Dave Rubin, Glenn Beck. So it's a good network. It's a good deal. And if you want more of Dad, it's a good place to check it out. So go to blazetv.com/unashamed.
And it's called In the Woods.
In the Woods with Phil. That's right. Well, I tell you what, Kathy Lee Gifford, I mean, we went beyond. I knew, you know, that she was a believer, but I mean, that girl has done some study.
She has.
I mean, she can teach at any preaching school there is.
She knew Hebrew. She knew Greek. I mean, she knew context. That I was super impressed with that. I tried to do some research on her because I've watched her like everybody else through the years, but you know, you don't know these people.
You didn't know she had that.
I had no idea. And was super impressed because, like, you could tell she knew what she was talking about.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
She could preach it anywhere.
She was pretty good. So the original plan was, just so our audience will know, she we were going to have her down. And a friend of hers, a real close friend, is the same one that has connected up this I Am Second stuff that we're doing today around this, doing the podcast. And so we were going to try to get her down here and have her own set and then have dinner at your house and cook. Yeah. But it's so hard now with just to get flights and to get in and out and get where you got to be. It's just kind of part of the, unfortunately, part of the COVID problem. So, but I really did love Frank Gifford growing up.
I did
just,
too.
You know, and of course, in football in general, right?
Yeah, I want to tell a story. Phil won't want to listen. He thinks I talk
no,
too
he's
long.
Just looking for scriptures.
Oh, you're good. Well, when you were a little boy and we were at Tech and you had your baby bed in there and me and you would be there, Phil would be at hunting or fishing or wherever he went when he wasn't going to college. And we were in there and I had a little black and white TV and I brought it in there and he would be just up from, you would be just up from your nap. And I say, we're going to watch football. And I mean, you were like a I would say you was between one and two. And so I put it on, and you know who we watched every time was the Dallas Cowboys. And so we'd sit there, and I would tell you about the game as if you knew what I was talking about. And I said, they scored a touchdown, and you would go. You would do your little hands and do your little hands like that.
And how old was I?
You was about 2 years old, almost two. And I'm saying, between there and now, are you still love the Dallas Cowboys?
I do.
And that started at that
actually,
age.
Actually, that's funny because you've never told me that story. Why have you never told you? You were just saving it for the podcast for when
well,
I was 55
when you're
years
old,
old,
it comes, it goes, it comes.
So that's interesting because a lot of people ask me why, because we live in Louisiana and always have, except for a little time in Arkansas. But, you know, why I'm a Cowboy fan instead of a Saints fan. And Dad wasn't really a fan of any team. I mean, he follows, you know, football, but he doesn't. It's not really like
he's
a,
like a Jason, a jumper. You
yeah,
know,
exactly.
One year this and one year
that. Yeah, he likes Brady. He likes this. So, but when, so when I thought it was because when we moved here in late 74, early 75, actually, is when we were here, that I remember my first football memory, other than I guess that one at two, was we were talking about the Super. We were riding one of the pink buses from right where we're sitting, this church. We were riding down to our apartment, and everybody was talking about the Super Bowl, and it was the Cowboys and the Steelers.
Yeah.
And so, you know, everybody was asked, who are you for? And I remember saying, well, I'm for Dallas. And I didn't really know why. I always thought it was an anti-Bradshaw thing because, you know, Dad and Bradshaw competed for quarterback. But it was actually you that planted
that's
that
right.
seed all that time.
And you, like, you watched
I never
them
forgot
every
that.
Year that you don't even remember.
So I was that's them, just my first memory, but you were saying all along.
All along.
Yeah.
And when I switched to the Saints, you didn't.
No,
you said, no, I'm Dallas Cowboys. But you did that as a little boy because we started at that age.
And, you know, I've always been a Cowboy fan. Of course, this year I'm not watching the NFL at all because this BLM stuff's just driving me crazy. But it's different. The game is different now because in the old days, like, you would watch the same group of players with the same coach until their career was over. But now they switch around. I mean, the NFL is getting like Major League Baseball. You watch it one year and you're like, where did all the players go that I just, you know. And so it's a little more stable for now, but that's fixing to change, I think. You know, you'll start you just can't get a team concept anymore, so it's kind of hard to pull for a team.
Well, you started out early.
Yeah, I've always loved them. All right, what you got, Dad? Well, Dad's got multiple he's got multiple holes in the scripture.
I got a little wrap up on and it's a lot coming up from one Kathy Lee Gifford. Jesus in John 8 said, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." Now put that in your pipe. That's John 8, verse 12. Now turn back to Matthew chapter 5, and Jesus makes an astounding statement for the believers that come to him. He is the light of the world. Now he says, you, his people, are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand where people can see it. And it gives light to everyone in the house. That's why he said, you will never walk in darkness, but you will have the light of life. So when it gets to us in the same way, let your light shine before men. They have to see your behavior. It's how critical behavior is when you are following Jesus, the light of the world. That they may see your good deeds, the people who are observing you, like, they ought to be mad, but they're not. Most people would curse at that point, but they didn't. Well, when they see that, They may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. That's the way we do it. And to finish up the complete thought, the Apostle Paul writing to the Ephesians in Ephesians 5, his first word there is be imitators of God because he's the light of the world. So you get down in verse 8, for you were once darkness, but now you are the light. You are light in the Lord. live as children of light, for the fruit of the light consists in all goodness. That's what he meant when he said you will walk by the light of life. You will be full of goodness, light of the world, righteousness, light of the world, and truth, light of the world. And find out what pleases the Lord. Have nothing to do with the fruitless deeds of darkness. You've already been there. Round and round and round, drugs, immorality, whatever. Rather expose them. It's shameful to mention what the disobedient do in secret. But everything exposed by the light, that's us, becomes visible. For it is light that makes everything visible. That's why it said, wake up, O sleeper. These for all of you believers out there. Wake up, sleepers. Rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. We're back to the light again. Pretty cool.
Yeah, pretty awesome. Let's take a break.
Hi, it's Jason Whitlock. Have you secured your spot for Roll Call 2.0, my annual men's summit in Nashville, Tennessee? Are you looking for an opportunity to fellowship with other believers, to come together across the identity lines the left have drawn to divide us? Join me, country music star John Rich, and Blaze founder Glenn Beck in Nashville on Saturday, June 1st for Roll Call 2.0. We're going to listen to great music, eat fantastic barbecue, and hear inspiring speeches from myself, Glenn Beck, North Carolina Lieutenant Governor Mark Robinson, Pastor E.W. Jackson, and many more. Let's quit letting the satanic left sift us like wheat. Let's come together as men and talk about the sacrifices we must make to restore the unity and shared values that made our country the envy of the world. Visit fearlessarmyrollcall.com to secure your spot.
Yeah, and so, I mean, that's interesting that you read that in conjunction with us talking to Kathy Lee, because I mean, I guess the one word I would associate her was joy. Mm-hmm. It's just a word, you know, that connects to her. But then, I mean, you could also say a bright light. She said on her I Am Second piece that I watched yesterday that she said, I knew, she said it again today. She said, I knew, you know, when I was 8 years old, like that, I mean, there needed to be a spotlight. I mean, I want to sing, I want to dance, I want to act. And it was all about what she saw and was connecting to with singing in movies. But hearing her talk today, I mean, she was a bright light already.
Yep.
You know, way before any of this, other stuff.
That's,
you know,
why all these qualities of the Spirit, love, joy, they're fruit of the Spirit, because Jesus, the light of the world, the vine, and we are the branches. Therefore, the fruit will be light, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness. It's light for the world, light for the world.
That's right.
You know, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control, all light, all light, all light.
And really and truly, I guess, Dad, both your latest books, The Theft of America's Soul and Now Jesus Politics, which we're still encouraging people
to
check out.
That's what Jesus Politics is all about.
That's what it's about. Yeah, that's what I was thinking. It really is about, because you basically identified the dark in the first book.
Yep.
And how Satan has done it to where we are right now.
Let his light shine through you being the light of the world. He just transposed it to us.
That's right.
And we move forward.
I thought our conversation with the Benhams was poignant in the fact that it shows what happens when you don't shine light.
I mean, that's right.
You know, the more you retract back and you kind of hide out in your churches or in your underground, your bunker, and don't shine that light out, you see what happens. That darkness just
continues. Paul told the Ephesians, by letting your light shine, you expose the darkness.
Exactly. And well, you know, when you walk into a dark room,
the Bimmer boys, who are the Bimmers?
The Benhams.
Benhams.
The Benhams.
Benhams. The Benhams.
Did I not name them right? They are two live wires for Jesus.
They really are.
I mean,
are.
They're like two electric prods that are just constantly on fire.
They're like a light shining in a dark place, that's for sure.
They're unafraid.
I really liked them.
They loved our Unashamed. Yeah, they loved you too. So, Mom, so 2 years in a row when it for our Life Choices Banquet, they're always trying to get like some good speakers, but as always, they don't have a big budget, blah, blah, blah. So they know I'm willing to help them. And Lisa and I kind of work in this field because we speak at a lot of these things. So we run across people and make friends, just like I did with the Benhams. Well, they speak a lot at the pro-life stuff too. And so our friend Jenny at the Life Choices last year, they said, "We it's our 40th year. We need somebody big, but we don't have any money." And it's, you know, so I got it. So I reached out to Jim Daly, who's the president of Focus on the Family. And I was like, "Jim, this is our 40th year. I don't even know if you go and speak and or whatever, but our thing doesn't have any budget, but I'll bring you in and put you up. And if you can come down here, and Dad's Hamburgers are waiting on you," because they had been down earlier and he'd eaten your hamburgers. And every time I talked to him, he reminds me about the hamburger. He said, "Hamburgers, I'm in." So I was like, "Okay, if we can't pay them, food gets them. That's good." That's so right. This year it was the Benham.
Sometimes the way to a man's heart is through his stomach.
That's correct. So this year it was the Benhams, and I knew they love carrot cake because I know them so well. And so they were, "Oh, carrot cake." I said, "Well, my mom makes the best carrot cake in the world." So, so I was like, "I tell you what, if you come down here and speak at our banquet, I will make sure you get steak, because they're big steak men, and carrot cake." I said, "It'll be one of the best steaks you ever ate. Old Stone, I know what he could do with the grilled tenderloin, and mom will make you carrot cake." Perfect. So today we're doing the I Am Second Thing. Mom comes in. She says, "Well, I just made a flop out of that cake." I was like, "Mom,
I've never done that in my life."
I said, "Mom, that's the reason. That's how I got the Benhams here. Now you got the one thing you were supposed to deliver. So tell me what happened. What happened with your cake?"
Well, I had too many irons in the fire, and I had
there were a lot of irons. That's true.
I was trying to make the cake, but I wanted to start the icing or have it all ready. So what I didn't do, I should have put the icing stuff over here, and I kind of had it all mixed up. Well, then I saw those two sticks of butter, and I thought that must go in the cake. It didn't go in the cake. It went in the icing. Was supposed to. But then when I got ready to put it in the icing, I said, "Where's the butter?" And then I thought, "Oh, no, I put it
while
in
it was
the
cooking," she said, "I think I messed up. I put the two whole sticks of butter in the cake instead of the icing." And I looked in the oven. It was getting brown. I said, "It won't be long now. We'll know." All I have to say is I was being kind. Boy, that thing is rich.
So, and Mom really does make an amazing, fantastic carrot cake. Of course, it's usually the presentation. You never know. It could be sliding off a little to the left.
Oh, yeah.
Or
they're never pretty. My cakes aren't beautiful.
But they're always
delicious.
They're
always the best to eat.
So because of that, I had to run down to the back, because I had promised them carrot cake. So I run down to the bakery, and I don't know how it works. I come in and said, "Do y'all have a carrot cake?" And she said, "Well, no, sir, we have a something else. And I said, "Can you make one?" And she was like, "Well, when do you need it?" I mean, I don't do bakery, so I don't know how this works. And she said, "Well, when do you need it by?" And I looked at my watch, and I said, "Well, I need it by 12:30. It was 10:15. She said, "Well, let me go back and ask." And so she comes back in. She says, "Well, they can do a square one because it'll cool, but they can't do a round one because you got to stack them up." I said, "Make it so." And so we did get them a carrot cake. And I admit it, I took a bite. It wasn't in the race with yours. But
it was good.
I delivered. It was good. It wasn't bad. It was really good. So.
Well, usually my flops are better than a lot of people's best
ones.
Yeah,
that's true. You usually find a way to pull it out of the fire. So it's been very pleasant. We've had, we haven't argued with Jace today, which is one of our.
Man, it's just peace.
Peace and calm. You know, Jace is quite the villain on the podcast. There's some people that get mad at him for cutting in on Dad or whatever.
He won't close his mouth.
That's exactly right.
Like other people.
But just know, Jace has always been the way he is. He's a good Bible man, and we know he can tell stories, and he's part of the way going forward. It's just if he's your villain, you know, just I don't know what to tell you. He's going to be part of the trio, so we're just going to go forward. But this was fun just to get to do something a little bit different, and so I wanted you to sit in with Kathy Lee because I thought that'd be fun. We're going to get her back in person.
I love that.
She's got some pretty good stories she's wanting to tell, too. So remember Jesus Politics. Remember to vote. Very important, November 3rd, vote godly, and don't forget to do that. See you next time.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to the Unashamed Podcast. Help us out by rating us on iTunes. And don't miss an episode by subscribing on YouTube, and be sure to click that little bell to get notified about new episodes. And for even more content that you won't get anywhere else, subscribe to Blaze TV at blazetv.com/unashamed.